The Bookport Plus is APH's latest entry into the world of portable digital players. We're looking at a device that is approximately 5 inches long, about 2.5 inches wide, and about 3/4 of an inch thick. Sort of about the size of a candy bar cell phone. It's a little bit flatter than the BookSense, and it's definitely smaller than the Stream. Hardware-wise, it's the same as the PlexTalk Pocket. It's the identical piece of hardware. In fact, the difference between the BookPort Plus and the PlexTalk Pocket is because it's APH's, they kind of set things up differently as far as the keys go. The software is different, or I should say the firmware is different, but the machine itself, the hardware is identical. The BookPort Plus uses an SD card, as do all of the portable players. The SD card sits on the left-hand side of the machine, 3/4 of the way up the side of the machine. If you're holding the machine so that it's facing you properly, which means the speaker is up at the top edge, the keypad is down at the bottom. One of the things I like in this machine is the buttons. They're dome-shaped buttons. They're very easy to find. There is probably, on the keypad itself, there's probably about, maybe a finger width separation between the one, the two, and the three, we'll say. The BookSense, I did not find that to be true. I found the BookSense, for navigation purposes, was a very difficult machine for me to use because the buttons were kind of flat and they ran together, and I found myself constantly trying to figure out exactly where I was.
See, isn't that interesting? Because it's such a personal
thing,
because I have the exact opposite reaction. Like, I like the BookSense because it's tiny. Like, I was looking at your BookPort Plus, and yeah, there's a lot of spacing, but it's a much bigger machine. And so it depends on, you're right, it depends upon what you're looking for in terms of.
I would not have given up one machine for another because of that. The thing that converted me over, if you will, to using the BookPort was one of the features that it has that no other player has. And I had to think long and hard about this, because one of the reasons I liked the BookSense was because the BookSense, you can connect a pair of Bluetooth headphones to it, which means you can essentially go cordless, which is wonderful. I used to love that, particularly in the wintertime when you're wearing a bulky jacket and, you know, you got your headphones on and you've got your BookSense in your pocket. You can't do that with the BookPort. But the BookSense does not have the capability of streaming. And I thought that was just a really cool idea, that with the BookPort Plus, you can actually connect to a wireless network and stream. I'll show you that. I'm going to check the status of some things, the first of which is the battery level.
Battery level 92%. Network information. Wireless network.
MIT. Capital M. Capital I. Capital T.
Connecting to wireless network.
Okay.
Download status. Not downloading.
So it's attempting to connect here to the wireless network. The BookPort has a power saving mode, which is kind of interesting, because when you haven't used it for probably about 2 minutes or so, it goes to sleep. And that means that you don't have to turn it off either. It just quietly goes to sleep. And I was a little skeptical when I first got it as to how well that was going to work, but it does seem to work pretty well.
Can you shut that off if you want to?
You can. You can actually turn it off if you want to by pressing and holding the power button for 3 seconds. And in fact, if you do that...
Power save mode. Hold the power key for power off.
Okay, and I'm holding it because I want...
Power off.
Okay, now I have turned power off. So it actually takes 3 seconds to... There we go. Now it's off.
Yeah, but my question was, could you turn the power saving off?
No.
Can you turn... Okay, you cannot turn that feature off.
No, it's on all the time. Well, now that I've gotten us into something I probably didn't want to get us into, I'm going to have to get us back out by turning the machine on. And this is one of the reasons I don't turn it off, because in order to get it to go back on, I have to press the power button, and now I've got to wait for it to boot up, which I hope it's going to do. Here
Please
we go.
Wait.
So now power is back on, and I have to wait for the thing to boot. So this is why I don't turn it off, because it really takes more time than I want to spend. If I were going to not use the machine for a long time, then I would turn it off. Here we go. It's a nice sound, but... All right, so now, because, of course, I shut it down, we're going to have to wait for it to try
SD card, web radio.
We're going to have to see if we can get it to connect to the network again. So I'm going to check the network status.
Battery. Network information. Wireless network.
MIT. Capital M. Capital I. Capital T.
Connecting to wireless network. Download.
Okay, so it's now going to try and reestablish connection with the network, so we're going to give it a couple of seconds to do that. And then I'm going to stream ACB Radio Mainstream, which I happened to be set on anyway because I was testing it out earlier to see if it would work. To do that, since I'm already sitting on that particular title, I will press enter, and we'll see if we can get it to stream for us. MIT's
find it looks in a temporary internet download file where it would be stored if you had installed earlier. Otherwise, it goes to
that's ACB Radio Mainstream.
Download that OCR component, which is about set.
Now, what else can we stream? We can stream a lot of other things. To do that, we'll press the title button.
SD card, all titles list, select title, web radio, 1.
ACB Mainstream,
in the folder,
ACB Streams.
Okay.
99 stations in this category.
Okay, now we've got 99 choices of things that I've got in the web radio category. And I'm going to press the up arrow now, which will allow me to move between folders.
Select folder.
ACB Streams.
ACB Stream is the folder I'm in. We've got 5 stations in the ACB folder. And I'm going to use the right arrow to navigate
me. Stations in this folder.
And we've got CBS. So we'll go to that folder now just for...
Select title.
KCBS AM.
We've got a group of 4 up, down, left, and right arrow buttons with a center button in the middle of it. And I pressed the center button, which is kind of like an OK control. So now I'll press it again. We're sitting on KCBS, which is Los Angeles. And we're going to see if we can connect.
She bought that ticket on a last-minute trip to her local 7-Eleven to pick up some eggs for her popover dinner recipe. Despite her husband's insistence to forego the eggs, she headed to the store where she saw only 1 $10 scratchers ticket left in the bin. She plans to use...
So that's a really nice feature of the Bookport, that if as long as I'm near a Wi-Fi connection, which means if I'm sitting in my living room or out in my back deck, what you cannot do, I can't be in a car and connect to the cellular network, so it won't do that. This is strictly a Wi-Fi kind of thing. On the other hand, if I'm riding a Peter Pan bus, and it happens to be one of the new buses that has free Wi-Fi, I can connect to the Wi-Fi very nicely. And they make it very easy for you to set up networks with this. You go into the network menu, you have an option that will search for the available networks, and it brings up all of the networks that you have. You pick the one you want, and then you go through a series of settings. Now, of course, like any other network, you have to know what your settings are. So, for instance, you need to know whether the network is secure or open. If it's secure, you need to know, of course, whether it's WEP or WPA. And these are all things that, if they sound complicated, they are in a way, if you don't know anything about networks. But if you're going to try to do this, this is all information that you need to know anyway.
Does the Bookport Plus have an AM/FM radio?
No, it does not. That's another difference between the Bookport Plus and the BookSense. I've always thought this was kind of a silly thing to incorporate into a device like this, mostly because in order to get decent reception, you've got to have some kind of an antenna. And at the very least, you're going to be using your headphone cord as an antenna, and that's usually not a real great antenna. So unless you're in an area where you've got lots of strong signals, you're not going to get very much. That was a feature that I didn't feel the least bit sorry to lose.
If you have to put in a network key, how cumbersome is that process?
It is the same process that you would use if you had a cell phone, you know, where you just had the 10-digit keypad and you're going to do letters.
So you have to do ABC kind of texting.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So they make it pretty easy to set up the network. I mean, it took me all of about 30 seconds to set up the network for here, and I've not connected to this MIT guest network before, so it was really no big deal.
But it's unsecured, and that's why.
Yeah, correct. If it had been secured, I would have had to go find out what the code was to do that. Now, in addition to streaming, you can also do podcasts with the Bookport Plus. Even though we have connectivity to a network, the Bookport Plus is not a web browser, so you're not going to be able to go onto the internet and Google things. You're not going to go to your favorite website and do stuff like that. But you can do podcasts. So let's select
SD card, all titles list. Select okay, title, I'm turn up the 6.
It's asking me to select title. Right now, I don't really want to do that, so I'm going to push the up arrow.
Select folder.
I don't want to do that either.
9 stations in this folder. Select category, web radio, 99 stations in this category.
Okay, so now we can select category, and the category I want is
podcast. 21 feeds in this category.
In my podcast category, I've got 21 different feeds. So let's see what we have here.
Select title.
Noman Radio Podcast.
Okay, so it's asking me to select the title, and I don't know that I want to do that one right now, but let's...
20.
Sessions with Law.
19.
Sarah Talk.
18.
On the Level.
Well, let's do Sarah Talk, since that's one that...
19.
Sarah Talk.
All right, so I'll go to... Now, I'll select that, and we'll
no
see...
No episode list. Update episode list. Are you sure?
And it says that there is no episode list, and ask me if I want to update it, and I do... Because
episode list updated.
Okay, in a second when it stops, that
SD
little
SD card podcast.
Sarah Talk podcast 87. A solution looking for a problem.
This episode has not been downloaded.
Okay, so now it's in the episode list, and it's going to tell me what episodes I have. And the one that it has here is this episode 87, a solution looking for a problem. It tells me it has not been downloaded, and I want to download it, so I'm going to press the center button.
This episode has not been downloaded. Would you like to download it?
Well, gee, I thought I said I did.
Download started.
Okay, so now it's starting to download the episode, and I can press the 5 key, which is my status key, to check the progress of the download. If I press it 3 times, I'll get to the actual download stuff, so I'll press it 3 times.
Download status. Currently downloading.
So
Sarah Talk Podcast 87, a solution looking for a problem MP3.
7% complete. Remaining one item.
Okay, that's pretty scary.
Sarah Talk Podcast 80.
Quiet. And I had to cancel because it'll try and read the rest of the status information. So I don't know whether this is a slow connection or whether we've got a lot of traffic on this particular network. It doesn't actually tell you when it's done, so we have to keep checking the status.
Download status. Currently downloading.
You can. I'm not sure which operations you'd want to do, and I don't fully trust these machines when they say they can do other operations.
Well, let's say you just want to read a book that you've got on.
Well, yeah, I know you can because I have done it. I've actually gone and read a book while I was letting something download.
What's on the SD card? The podcast itself, it wasn't, but it had some reference to it. It seemed they knew where to look for this thing.
Yes, it downloads the RSS feed so that it knows what podcasts are in the list. It updates that list and
find that.
Yeah, how do you add a feed if you...
You do that through a program that comes with your book port called Book Transfer, and one of the options in it is to allow you to add RSS feeds.
But you do that on the computer.
You have to do that on the computer, yeah. You can't do it on the book port itself.
Can you connect to BART?
No. What you can do, though, is, as is true with the other portable players, once you have downloaded the book onto your computer, you can transfer it over either by copying the book into the folder, and it doesn't require a special folder either. You can just you can just unzip the file and put it onto the SD card, or you can use the book transfer software from your computer, which will also unzip the file and actually put that on the card. So let's see how our download's coming now.
Download status. Currently downloading.
Sarah Talk Podcast 87, a solution looking for a problem MP3.
12% complete.
That's scary. I don't know why it's going this slow, because we may have a flaky connection to this network and we're getting lots of retries and lots of stuff. So I think what I'm going to do, since we're not going to try and download this since it's not really working so well, is I'm going to go in and I'm going to disable the wireless, which will actually help me to save on batteries. There is a menu button on this machine, and I can navigate through all the menus to try and get to what I want. But one of the neat features of this player that is not true on any of the other ones is that I can set up shortcuts to menus that I use often. And this is one of the ones I use often, the enable and disable the network. So I'm going to do the shortcut that I have predefined for that purpose. And to do that, I will press the menu button and the number 1 on the keypad at the same time.
Shortcut 1. Enable or disable wireless networking. Enter. Enable.
Okay. Now I'll use the left arrow to get to...
Disable.
Disable, which is what I want.
Enter. Set.
And I've just disabled the network. What else can you do with a BookPort Plus? We've covered the streaming. We've covered the podcast stuff, and that takes care of all that you can do with the Wi-Fi. Well, no, there is one other thing that you can do with the Wi-Fi, and that is that you can connect through your network so that you can have your book port connected wirelessly to the computer. It's a neat gimmick, but I don't think it's terribly useful because it's incredibly slow. So what I do instead is I connect my book port Plus to the computer using the USB cable, just as I would with any of the other portable players. And that works faster and more reliably, I think. So you can play NLS books on the machine, and I'll show you that. We'll do the titles.
SD card, all
again.
Titles list, select title, podcast 19.
Okay, we don't care about podcasts.
Select folder, select category, podcast 20, web radio, 9, Daisy title.
And we'll see what we've got here.
Select title.
Barry Pray.
Publication date, October 2011. Published to Smart Computing.
Thank you.
July 2011.
Let's select Smart Computing just because
Boeing,
it's Vibug.
Second hard drive in my PC. I'm putting a lot of pictures and music on it, but I'm not sure when I should consider another drive.
I'll start her reading normally, and I'll just keep speeding her up here by pressing the up arrow, which is how you do that. And that's one of the things I like, by the way, is the ease with which, you know, they've allowed you to navigate here in terms of the speed. It's kind of like the Braille Plus, actually, you know, that up arrow increases your speed and down arrow decreases. So we'll start reading.
Answer. For desktop PCs, a second internal hard drive may be a great choice. You can economically purchase a 1 terabyte TB serial ATA SATA drive, but installing an internal drive requires a small amount of technical savvy. You need to mount the drive in the PC chassis, connect power and signal cabling, and then perhaps even format the new drive once the system is rebooted. The internal hard drive will come with all the instructions that you need to accomplish the task.
Fast enough for you, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay, we're now at the top. Okay, so you've got seven choices of speed increase.
Speed plus 6. Speed plus 5. Speed plus 4. Speed plus 3. Speed plus 2.
Usually that's about where I keep somebody who's reading it. And again, it's a personal thing. This is what's comfortable for me.
Steve, you're a BookSense user. Do you find this machine, like, reaction time to be slow? It seems like you're pressing a button and the thing's sitting there for a second.
I would say it is kind of slower than I think the BookSense is quicker, but sometimes I've seen the BookSense kind of flake out and get confused and you know, even though it reacts quickly, it sometimes hangs and locks up, and I haven't had those problems with the BookPort.
I wish you could disable those sounds.
Yeah, I do too. You can't.
But there are little sounds that are made whenever you change a menu.
Yeah,
or
it sounds like you're playing with somebody's Nintendo game.
Well, I think you can change those sounds.
No, you really can't. You can change some of them. You can change what it uses for the wait sound, for instance. But what you can't do is you can't get rid of things like when I start the reading.
They connect much more simply.
Or when I stop it.
Formatting.
You're stuck with that sound. Now, I think that's silly. Why do I need a little sound to tell me that I just stopped it when as soon as the voice stops, I'm going to know it stopped? I really don't need that. But, you know, that's the way they implemented it. And this is kind of I guess in a way it's a criticism of the way I think APH writes their software. Is, I don't know, they take some very simplistic approaches to things sometimes. When you think they'd give you options, they just don't.
I think if I'm correct, that the Plextalk has these
yes,
sounds too.
It does.
But I think they could have given you options to, well, maybe they couldn't have. Maybe the way it's constructed, you don't get to those options. So we know we can do NLS books, we can do Audible books, we can also use it as a music player.
SD card, all titles list, select title, Daisy title, 2, Smart Computing, music, all music.
Yep. So anyway, you know that you can do that. They've made track selection pretty easy. You use your 7 and your 9 keys to go to the tracks.
04-Jezebel. 03-Smooth Operator.
Okay, so this is the best of Sade, and the cut is Smooth Operator, which is track 3. And I think the way it gets the track information is to just read the name of the file. I don't think it does anything fancy, like reading the headers, which is, I guess, pretty much typical of most of the portable players, except for the Braille Plus, which actually goes in and reads the MP3 tags and stuff like that. The players are pretty much similar in most aspects, except, of course, for the streaming. And the one thing that the BookPort Plus does, probably than any other player I know of, is recording. Not only is it capable of recording in either mono or stereo with a number of different options. You can do things like you can set automatic volume so you don't have to set your levels, or you can set the levels manually if you prefer to do that, which is sometimes an advantage. Say, if, for instance, if you're recording a concert or something like that, you can do stereo or mono. You have different settings like conference and things like that, which do things with equalization and try to bring out the presence of the human voice more. You can use the internal mic that the machine has. You can use an external mic, or you can connect to a line input if you want to record off of, say, for instance, your home stereo or off your computer. You can do that.
What formats does it save in?
It'll do WAV and it'll do MP3. And you can do different sampling rates and stuff, you know, depending on the quality that you want. But the one thing that it does differently about recording than any other, and you could argue all day over, you know, who's got the best quality mics and stuff like that. I happen to think the Bookport does. But the real advantage with the Bookport is that if you record something, you can actually produce a recording that's in DAISY structure, which means that if you were in a pinch and you wanted to do it, you could actually produce a DAISY playable book, and they actually call it producing a DAISY book, which means that you can also do things like edit your recordings once you've made them. So if you've got a section that you want to delete, you can mark it to delete it and then get rid of it. I don't think you can insert anything into a recording. That I don't think it'll let you do.
Can you rename the recording?
You mean rename it on the Bookport itself?
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
I assume that it will get the date and time or something like that?
Yes, it does that. It does let you kind of use the first snippet of the recording as a sort of a title for it, and you can edit that and rename it so you have a kind of an audio title to it. I haven't used the recording a lot because my primary purpose in getting this machine was to use it as a portable reader, but it does have fairly sophisticated record capabilities, and you know, they seem to work pretty well in the limited amount that I've tested them out.
What about other file formats? Word docs files.
I know that it will do text files. It'll do, I believe, HTML. It'll do BRF. It'll do Word DOC files, I think. I don't know if it'll do DOCX.
Again, one thing that the book, I know that the BookSense
will do.
Will do.
Yeah, it will do the DOCX. I wasn't terribly interested in that, and part of the reason I'm not real interested in that with the Bookport is because I don't like that speech voice that it uses. It uses the voice that I call Scratchy Samantha, which is the same one that the Stream uses. And that's one thing. I think the BookSense had a better voice, although they've tweaked that thing in a funny way so that it has some very strange mispronunciations of things, like the month of October. It says Octobu, and I have no idea why. You know, and other things that use the Kate and Paul voices don't mispronounce things that way, so I think Hymns did their own messing around with the tables.
How much is that?
I believe right now it is $350, and there was a sale going on at APH. I don't know if it went through the end of the year. I know it was through the end of October.
The size of
the size of
the machine, you mean?
Yeah.
It's about 2.5 inches wide by about 5 inches long by about 3/4 inch deep.
Freedom Scientific is selling the PlexTalk version of this machine, and I think they were selling it for $275, weren't they, at one point?
I don't know if they still are. And the biggest difference between the two machines is the way they've set up some of the keys. And from what I've heard, the Bookport is a much easier machine to use in terms of navigation. Now, one thing that the Bookport has that I like is the tone control. The BookSense I found very lacking in that. They had an equalizer, which you could use in the music player, but they had no way of adjusting the tone if you were reading an NLS book. And the Bookport's tone control works everywhere. So, and it works both as a bass, as a treble cut, which means, you know, it reduces the highs if you want to, but it also gets rid of bass if a person's voice is too bassy and boomy. And that was one of the things that I think was a good thing that I wish the BookSense had done. When I turned the machine on, it saw the wireless and actually attempted to connect. I didn't really log on. The only time I actually had to log on was when I first came in here and set up the network the first time, because at that point it had not ever tried to connect to that network before.
No, didn't you have to hit the select button to get it to connect?
No, it was, well, it said it was connecting anyway. It was, it was just doing it. I was checking status to see if it was connected. And if I'm in my house and it thinks I need to use, it thinks I want to use the network, it connects by itself. I don't have to do anything to it.
If you let it go to sleep and throw it in your bag and press a button, it'll wake up?
Yes, it would. So there is a key lock switch on the side of the machine. It's just a little slide switch that you move into the lock position, and then it, and that not only locks the keyboard, but it kind of puts it immediately into power save mode so that it doesn't sit there, you know, trying to use wireless or do any of the things that it shouldn't do.
Steve, that thing has SD cards in it. You want to record onto that card, you have to have a separate docking station for your computer, or can you or does that book port put information onto the card itself?
Oh, you mean can I transfer things from the computer to the card without using a separate docking station?
Yeah.
Yes. All I have to do, there is a mini USB port on the bottom edge of the book port, and as soon as I plug that in and plug it into a computer, it kind of goes into a mode where it shows up as another drive on the computer.
Okay, but some devices have internal memory and a card. So
yeah,
no distinction between...
The book port does have internal memory, but it's only used for memo recording. There are two kinds of recordings you can make. One is memos, which go on the internal memory, and the other is recordings of longer duration, like you know, say long meetings or concerts or anything that you wanted to record, and those go on the card.
Okay, but there's some control that you tell it use the card or use the internal
memory. No, not on this. Now,
you're thinking about a BookSense, like the BookSense XT has internal memory where you can store stuff the unit. This is more like the Stream where you only store things on a card.
That's one of the things I liked about the XT was the fact that you had 4 gig of memory right in the machine that you could use. I can't say that any of the players are all good or all bad. It's kind of... you know, a trade-off of which things you like and which things are important enough to you to, you know, want to use a particular player.
WBUR as an announcement, you know, take WBUR with you. Can you listen to WBUR on that?
You can listen to particular programs if they're archived.
Right.
Can you listen to just, but you can't, can you just take a stream
feed? I think you can, yeah.
Can
yeah.
You, okay, that's good. Okay, that's what
yep.
I yeah.
In fact, I have that stream set up for New Hampshire Public Radio because they have, I like to listen to Car Talk at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning and BUR broadcasts at 11. So because of that, I set up the stream for NHPR. So if I'm riding the bus to Connecticut and it's Saturday morning and it's 10 o'clock, I can do that.
In reading text files, the voice you say is pretty bad. I assume you can stop and spell a word. Can you, what do you call the alphabet?
The phonetic?
No, I don't believe you can do phonetic with this machine, because the spelling, you just use the left and right arrows to go over the characters and read it character by character. That's the way you do it.
The status key, you can't, it won't do phonetics?
I don't believe it will.
Okay.
In fact, I don't think any of the portable players do phonetics. But I think the reason for that is because they have such limited internal space, and to get a good quality speech voice like Kate or Paul that they use in Kurzweil 1000 requires a pretty hefty amount of space and a pretty hefty amount of processor power to make it work, and they're just too limited. They just don't have it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Steve.